Hey, this is Rob. When Kira and I recorded this episode, our guest Brian Lenny was working as a copywriter at Hotjar. But a few days after we wrapped, Brian left his cushy corporate job and went back to freelancing. And though we didn't know he would be quitting when we spoke with him, you can tell Brian is wrestling with his decision as you listen to him talk about his career. It's probably not best copywriter practice to close the loop before we've even opened it, but now you know the rest of the story, so let's get on with the show.
So what if you could hang out with really talented copywriters and other experts, ask them about their successes and failures, their work processes and their habits, then steal an idea or two to inspire your own work? That's what Rob and I try to do every week at the Copywriter Club podcast.
You're invited to join the club for episode 4 as we chat with Hotjar copywriter Brian Lenny about the pros and cons of writing for a startup, why copywriters should consider using a product like Hotjar, and his thoughts about freelancing before he went in-house. Hey, Kira. Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Howdy. Happy to be here.
We're excited to have you, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So we should probably start with some context. We met Brian through the Copy Hacker Mastermind. I feel like that's how we've met everyone here so far. And we got to hang out with him in Sonoma in September and really get to know Brian.
It was funny because once we got to Sonoma, even after being in the Mastermind for several months with Brian, it dawned on me that Brian had done writing at Inbound, because I had seen so much of the stuff that he had done at inbound.org, and suddenly I'm like, oh, wait a second, Brian is Winsome Writing. Ah. And then there were, you know, maybe there was a controversial post or two there, and I was like, okay, that's the guy. And it all kind of came together.
I had the same thing, Rob, because when we started, you know, I don't go on there as much as I used to, but I'm like, oh yeah, we've actually I had the same kind of aha moment. I'm like, that's the Rob. I know Rob from Inbound. Cool.
So it's kind of funny. We all sort of know each other, but we don't really know each other, you know?
Yeah, but we got to hang out and drink, you know, drink wine and talk about business and copywriting in Sonoma wine country. So it was fun.
It was a good time.
So I think to start, Brian, you have background. You've spent years freelancing as a copywriter, and you're currently at a startup, Hotjar, like we mentioned. And then you've worked with Inbound. So can you just kind of give us a brief background on the worlds that you've been hanging out in?
Yeah, because it's kind of unique. So I think it's one of those things that, like banking, for instance, I look at banking, like if you're a banker, I'm like, who wants to be a banker? Banking's just something you kind of fall into, not to insult any bankers out there, but most people don't grow up saying, hey, I want to be a banker, you know? So my background isn't technically copywriting, stuff like that. Like, I have a degree in political science and a graduate degree in theology, essentially, which aren't really copywriting degrees, right? But I did a lot of writing in those degrees. So copywriting was one of those things where my brother is very, very successful as an SEO online. He just does SEO, affiliate stuff, anything to do with building a link, right? So one day we were talking, and I'm like, man, his name's Jeff. I'm like, Jeff, how do you like make money online? Like, what's that all about? And like, how does that work? And we got to talking, and it hit me one time. He said, you know, Brian, you're a pretty good writer, which you know, if someone tells you the same thing over and over, you should pay attention, where, you know, whether it's good or bad. And he said, there's people who just make money just writing online. And I'm like, no, you can't just like writing. Like, what are you talking about? So that was about 4 or 5 years ago. And that's how I kind of got into it. Have you guys had Rye Schwartz? He's on one of the episodes, right? Or he's going to be?
We are. Yeah, we're talking to Rye.
Yeah, you're talking to Rye. When I was talking to him, we kind of had a similar story. I'm like, you can make money on. So I started Googling how to be a copywriter, how to be an online copywriter. That's how I found Copy Hackers and Joanna. And I just kind of self-taught myself the like, wow, you can, the business part of it. I just kind of started doing it. I was working at doing marketing for this is really weird, but it's true, for a hospice a couple of years ago, which is odd, right? Like marketing for a hospice. And
very
I just got
sad.
To the point. Yeah, and sad because you're marketing like, hey, you're dying, use us. But it is really competitive in America. And I just got to the point where my boss, the founder of the hospice, came in one day and she said, Brian, why are you working here? You should start your own business. And long story short, I did, and started freelancing. I started kind of at the bottom of the barrel, in my opinion, doing like SEO copywriting, just keyword stuffed kind of content mill type stuff. And I didn't like it at all. Started getting cooler clients and better clients. And then I worked with inbound.org for most of 2015. We helped grow and scale that. That was cool. Got to work with Dharmesh Shah directly, founder of HubSpot. And
very cool.
Yeah, and then just kind of the inbound thing kind of changed a little bit. So left on good terms and started freelancing again. And then I said, you know what? I kind of miss being on a team. So I'm kind of like ADD freelancing. And then and now I'm with Hotjar, which is a really, really, really cool startup. And I'm just doing writing and content and copy for them. So I've kind of been all over the place. If that's a really long answer, but yeah, that's what it is.
Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing at Hotjar. And I mean, we haven't really talked a lot about tools with most of our guests so far. You know, we talk a lot about their processes and what they do, but Hotjar's also a potential tool for a lot of writers to use, at least if they're looking at things like online conversion. So tell us a little bit about, again, what you're doing and how Hotjar could maybe inform somebody else's process.
Yeah, so Hotjar was one of those. The funny thing is, when I worked with inbound.org, we used Hotjar. So when they first, we were one of the beta users. So so it's kind of cool to be working with Hotjar at this point. Hotjar helps you, without being salesy or businessy, it helps you understand everything people are doing on your website. So you can see recordings. It's like watching a movie of how people are using your website, where they click, where they hover, where they get hung up. You know, you can watch people convert, which is always a good thing. So it helps you visually see everything everyone does on your website. But the cool thing is, which that technology is nothing new, right? Like Crazy Egg has been around forever with heat maps, and the technology isn't new. But what Hotjar does is, it's an all-in-one solution. So we take essentially 7 tools and put them all in one place on one dashboard, which includes polls, surveys, so you can actually poll people. You can trigger things with JavaScript. So say you're running an e-commerce site or something, and someone puts something in the basket and they're about to check out. You can use a JavaScript trigger to like have a poll show up like, hey, you know, we noticed you put this widget in the cart and you didn't buy. Did you find everything okay? So Hotjar helps you on the data and analytics side. You can measure conversion funnels, form completion rates, stuff like that. But it also lets you talk to your users. And again, everyone's heard of, you know, SurveyMonkey or stuff like that. But Hotjar is, currently we're sitting on top of the mountain as far as the all-in-one solution. So you could sign up for 7 different services and figure all this stuff out, or you could sign up for one service and have it all in one place. So what I'm doing there, we're doing pretty much anything that involves writing, copy, content. I'm working with David, the CEO. We're you know, co-creating, which is kind of cool, some blogs together, email nurturing, stuff like that. So pretty much anything that involves words, pretty cool gig.
So while we're talking about Hotjar, you know, I've learned a lot about Hotjar through the Mastermind and working with you on projects around that, in that space. I think it's terrific. How can a copywriter like me, like all of us, integrate it into our freelance businesses to our advantage so that we could potentially charge more with our clients, get better results, kind of like take our game to the next level? Because I haven't, do I just get an account and then I can use that account with multiple clients? Or do I just tell my clients, hey, you have to get an account and then I'll work with you and collaborate and talk about it and review it with you?
That's a cool question, because there's a couple things you can do there. You can use it personally, like internally on your own business and website. So if you're having like blog posts, you can see like how far people read, where they click, where they hover. So for instance, if you have like, maybe you have like this gigantic blog post, you know, which doesn't mean it's bad, because, you know, if it's good, it's good. But you find out through Hotjar, wow, only about, you know, 12% of people make it to the bottom. So maybe I should change that or do things shorter. So you can kind of analyze your own business, like your own freelance website and business. You can poll people. I actually set up a survey that was very funny with Hotjar on my site, winsomewriting.com. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug it, but
of course you are. Of course.
Right now it's just kind of sitting there. I'm not actively using it at this point in my life, but
Well, should we need to talk about what's on that website, like, right now? At some point,
we can. I mean, we can. Let's do that. But I sent out a survey to my list, which isn't terribly large, but it's several hundred people saying, like, hey, if you could describe me in one word in my business, what would you do? So I got, you know, I sent a survey and I got some very funny. One guy said a beardy bloke who's really good at telling stories. That was my favorite one I got back.
And that seems like a pretty accurate description.
Yeah, because I have a beard. And so, I mean, you can use it for that, but a lot of people, so agencies are huge, huge, huge with Hotjar. We love agencies. Agencies are a big, like, sales force for us, honestly. So a lot of agencies use Hotjar in their agency and with their clients. So you can have a client set up a site and say, give me access so I can manage your stuff. Or if you're an agency and you have, like, several clients, or you're a freelancer, it doesn't matter. If you have, like, 10 clients who you want to use Hotjar with, you can add them to your account as a separate organization. Okay. But the cool thing is, here's what we hear, like, unsolicited email, through intercom, through messages, any way customers can talk to us, we hear all the time, I got to use Hotjar to be the bad guy. So Hotjar can be the bad guy for you. So if you're trying to, like, talk to a client, even if it's not even specifically copy, like conversion rate optimization is people, it seems like that's getting a lot of traction these days, right? Like, you could show a client, like, hey, if we lay it out this way, I don't think it's going to be very effective. And if the client's, like, you know, digging their heels in, you could set up a heat map on the page. You could set up recordings and just show the client, like, look, we had 1,000 people visit this page. Here's how they're interacting with it. So Hotjar is really good at just objectively providing data and insight, but also getting feedback, you know, from users. So Hotjar can be the bad guy, but it's also, like you said, Kira, it's like a selling point. So if you're working with a client, you could set them up with Hotjar and just say, look, not only do you get Kira Hug's amazing copywriting skills, you also get all this data and all this analytics and all this feedback on your site. So it's kind of like It's something cool to have in the tool belt, you know.
Brian, I'm curious. You know, I've worked in house. I've freelanced. I've done other, you know, marketing type related jobs that weren't necessarily copywriting. So, I think we have that in common. But talk to me a little bit about the differences between freelance and being in house, and maybe even specifically like the financial differences. You know, I hear that people leave freelancing, often take a pay cut to go in-house, but then, you know, you have things like benefits and, you know, a team to work with, that kind of thing. But what were your thought processes around that switch, and how has it benefited you?
It's a good question, because it's something that I just constantly, I kind of go back and I have a problem with the grass is always greener syndrome. Something just that invades and infects every area of my life. So when I'm freelancing, I'm like, oh, it'd be really cool to be with a remote team and kind of, you know, in-house, so to speak. You know, that there's obvious reasons. You get security, you have another team. It's not just you, like, solo out on your own trying to make it work. Like, you have people who have your back, and you have a team you can bounce ideas off of. And you get to work with other people and co-create, and you're just not in it alone. And part of that, so technically, I guess, speaking right now, Hotjar, I'm still freelancing, and Hotjar is just a full-time client. So I'm, you know, that's one way I could look at it. There's financial security there, right? Like, if you're on a remote team, most remote teams, I would say all remote teams in the SaaS kind of tech startup world, you know, you get a salary, like Buffer, you know, we could just go down the line. So, like, cool, like, when you're out freelancing, some projects I would make a lot of money, like more than I make at Hotjar in a month, I would make on one project in a few weeks. But that goes up and down. So you have regular clients, semi-regular clients, then there's those dry spells where you're just out, you know, trying to make it work. So when you're with a team, it's like, cool, I just get a regular salary every month. I don't have to go out and, like, hustle. But then sometimes you miss the hustle, right? Like, sometimes I miss the hustle, and sometimes I miss, like, I've had really good months freelancing, and I've had just average months. And I'd say Hotjar's right in, you know, Hotjar for me, like, financially what I'm making right now, I'm kind of right in the middle. Like, I'm making good money, but there has been times when I was freelancing where I made better money, but there's also been times where I've made less. So I think it's like in-house, you get the security of, hey, I get a paycheck every month. I have a salary. I'm with a team and I'm working with a team that's like really, really cool. But you know, you're working with a team. So it's like, for instance, I can't, I have to try and write and put stuff out there in the Hotjar voice, where my natural voice when I was just on my own is probably a lot more similar to like Kira's, just kind of like out there and pretty unique and just say what I feel. And you know, so there's a lot there. You have to kind of make some compromises when you're with a team because you're with a team. Whereas the cool thing about freelancing when I was just solo is I can just say and do whatever I want. And it's like, cool, there it is. That's me on a plate. If you don't like it, find someone else. So
it seems like there's probably some validation around that. I mean, you have a business card that says, senior writer, something, you know, senior content provider, something like that. And, you know, for those who might, you know, not want to be in the freelance life, they don't want the hustle, they don't want to be, you know, always out there looking for the next client. What could they expect sort of salary wise at different levels, you know, working in-house? Obviously, you know, they're not going to make millions, but at the same time, they're probably not coming in at, you know, $20,000, which is what I think the average copywriter, freelancer actually makes every year.
Wow. Yeah. So as a freelancer, Kira and I talked about this on Slack one time, just kind of chatting back and forth. My first year freelancing, like just not knowing what I'm doing as far as the business side of things and how to get clients and all that. My very first year, just I'm going to quit my job and do this. And then I wake up the next day, I'm like, oh crap, how do I do this? I made like $44,000, right? And just kind of completely winging it. But for instance, Joel Kletke, I hope I'm saying his last name right, his first year freelancing doing the same thing, I think he made like 100, and he'd be a great guest, by the way. I think he made over 100 grand his first year. So it depends on, you know, how quickly you can sell yourself and acquire clients and how much coaching you've had, how much help you have, how big your network is. For me, I just kind of just pulled it out of my ass and just went for it and said, okay, I think I can figure this out. Where looking back, like if I were to start just being a full-time solo freelancer again, I would be much more intentional in how I did stuff. But I think in-house, I can give you probably like a range, at least in kind of the tech startup SaaS world. I would say, and this is very general on the low and the high end, I would say if you're going to be a copywriter in the SaaS tech startup world, from what I gather and what I've seen and what I've heard, I would say probably a starting point, maybe like a minimum kind of to expect would be, this is maybe like high 50s, all the way up to probably mid 80s. So I would say maybe between 60 and 90, and that's very broad, you know. But I mean, if you're getting up to close to 90 or something like that, then that's very rare. So I would say probably, I don't know, maybe 60s and 70s would probably be average for just like entry level. Hey, I'm a copywriter, content guy or girl or gal, man, woman, however you say it, to not offend people. If you're just kind of getting your feet wet or starting with a agency, yeah, I'd probably expect around that.
So, Brian, you said that if you could go back, you would have been more intentional starting your freelance business. So specifically, what are you thinking about? Because there are people that could be starting their freelance copywriting businesses now. So what does that mean? And if you were to go back and start a new copywriting business, say 2 years from now, what would you do the right way early on?
First of all, you have to know how to sell yourself. You know, you have to know how to sell yourself. You have to be confident. And that only comes from doing good work and knowing that you do good work. So one thing I didn't do early on was I would do work, right? I would do what I thought was good work, and I would just kind of throw it up on the table and go, what do you guys think? You know, like it wasn't until, it's in hindsight, right? Like it wasn't until I looked back and said, man, I should have just like, I saw this, it was like a talk, I forgot what it was, a podcast or a conference talk, I forgot the guy's name, but this guy gave a talk once and he said, he was talking to designers, not copywriters, but he was talking to creatives, and he said, when you do good work and present it to a client, I want to say it was like Bob Hoffman maybe, but he said, when you do good work and present it to a client, you need to say, here's my work, here's why it's good, here's why you need this. You need to walk them through it, where before I would just kind of slap it on the table. I think, so that's one thing, is you have to sell yourself just because you got the job and you got, you know, I would also say never do a job unless you get at least 50% deposit up front. I've had jobs where the client has like begged to hire me and they just gave me 100% up front, and that's, you know, that's really cool. But I've seen people, you know, do jobs and they're like, I didn't get anything up front, and they put several months of work into it and they get nothing, like they get fired. Oh, that's never happened to me, but like, it's like, oh, it's not a good fit, it's not working out, sorry. I'm like, wow, you just wasted so much time. But I think probably besides the business stuff and having a contract and that kind of stuff, I think where most people struggle, I would say I know just because I hear it from everyone, is how do I get clients?
What you said about presenting and being the expert is so critical with all clients, right? And it's something I think all of us naturally struggle with. I do, you know, I'll complete an assignment, you know, a sales page or you know, something, and send it to the client or be in that presentation. And I say, what do you think? And that's such the wrong thing to say, because as the copywriting expert, it doesn't really matter
what they think.
The other person thinks, right?
Yeah. Right.
And I've got to be, I think all of us do this, or maybe you don't do it so much anymore, Brian, but it's so much about, look, this is what I know, this is what I've learned, this is what the data is telling me, assuming that we have that data, or what the customer research is saying, and this is why it makes sense, rather than, well, you know, what do you think? You know, what would you change? You know, sort of opening it up for that terrible conversation that we all hate to have.
No, I love that you shared that, Brian, because I totally agree. Early on, I was doing the same thing. I would just share the Google Doc, right, for our review, and I would just open it. And the way I presented it was very much like, I want you to scrutinize my copy because you've paid for it, and I will totally rewrite it if you want me to.
10 times.
Because that's part of the package. And that's such the wrong way to present it, because you're right. You're, even though you've already sold them on working with you, you still need to sell them on the final product. And I think that's what we forget. That's what I forget. And I think that's just a great reminder to be careful with how you position every conversation with your client.
Exactly. And I mean, it's like hiring a plumber, because we recently had to do this. And then it's like, hey, the dishwasher's not working. And he goes through it and he's like, okay, it's, what do you guys, is it fixed? I think it's fixed.
How do those dishes look now? Yeah.
And that's how you get like zero business. So something I would do, so confidence, even, I mean, like, confidence gets you clients, it gets you repeat clients, it gets you referrals.
But how do you get that confidence?
There's a line, I don't know. I mean, there's a line between cockiness and confidence that I have to walk sometimes. I think if you're just like, how, that's like asking, what's his name? Like Michael Phelps, how do you get your confidence as a swimmer? It's because he's a badass swimmer, right? Like, he doesn't have to get it. He just has it because he knows. So I would say if you're good, you know you're good. If you're not, don't blow smoke up someone's ass and try to pretend you're good and sell yourself and then you can't deliver. So for me, it was like after hearing from several people, after getting some of these early on clients, and I was getting better and better and better, and you know, there's a difference between having to unlearn some of the stuff I learned in college. Like, I'm not writing for the MLS or an academic paper. I'm writing for normal people who read the internet and scan stuff. So once I started getting better and better and better, I would just, I don't know, the confidence just kind of snuck up on me, and it just showed up. And then I would start to get, like, some of my best clients, I would actually say all of my favorite clients have been 100% inbound. Like, hey, I saw what you wrote about blank. What does it take to hire? Like, how do I give you my money? I want to hire you now. You know, and that's what you want, right? Like, but that comes with confidence. That comes with generally speaking. I mean, we could talk all day about how do you get clients, but generally speaking, for me, I started doing a lot of guest posts, and I don't even have that much, but I have a couple on HubSpot. I started doing guest posts and just really putting myself out there. Just kind of, here's me. This is me. What you see is 100% me. And then I would have people. Most of my really, really good clients and the high-paying ones, and by the way, the clients who are the good ones are the ones who don't try to haggle you and argue with you about price nonstop. They know what a good copywriter's worth, and they'll they'll pay you. But I had people just email. I got an email yesterday from a guy I used to work with, who's like, hey, we got this project. I would love to work with you on it. How do I pay you? With Hotjar, I'm not really, like, taking on clients right now. So I'm like, hey, thanks. But, you know, but yeah, it's confidence and putting yourself out there. And then you'll, I mean, some people say guest posting is dead. I think that's from, mm-mm. I think the people who say that are the people who've never had a successful guest post, right? Like, I've gotten so many clients based on, hey, I saw what you wrote on HubSpot. Could you write that for our agency? Hey, I saw what you wrote over here. We want you to write an ebook, or, you know, it just kind of happens. So,
Brian, let's talk about controversy for a minute. You're a guy that has some some opinions, and you don't always keep them to yourself. I think, you know, there have been a post or two at Inbound where I think you caught a lot of flack for being misunderstood and expressing an opinion, that kind of a thing. Even your website today, you know, somebody could go to Win Some Writing and look at that, and it's maybe just a little bit controversial.
I'll take a screenshot so we don't lose this.
Kind of fun, yeah. But maybe a little controversial. But I mean, this seems to be your approach, right? You're not afraid to speak your mind. You're not afraid to offend. But at the same time, I don't think you go out of your way to offend. Talk to me a little bit about your thinking around that.
Oh, this is like a great topic. Sometimes
we could go on for hours about this.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, sometimes, very rarely, I do intentionally try to offend someone, because not offending them for the sake of offending them, but just, this is just generally speaking. We could like kind of put copywriting on the shelf for now, but this is just me in life. But it creeps into my business. Sometimes the only way to kind of make a point or get your point across is to say something that's going to rattle someone's cage, because then they're going to finally get it, right? But I don't think, intentionally in my mind, I never say, I want to go out and offend someone or be controversial. What I do say is, I'm very opinionated on almost any subject you could think of. I obviously politics and religion and stuff like that, and culture, and we could talk about, I mean, if you link to the post, I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff, even in Sonoma, Rob, you and I and some other people got into some stuff, but it was, you know, I'm just me. So like, I think it all comes back to vulnerability. I'm not afraid to put myself out there, because here's what happens. So here's what you don't see, right? So there was this post on Inbound, earlier this year, about like feminism and Neil Patel, and should he use these, like, you know, ex-Playboy models in his ads, blah, 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 whatever. I don't even want to talk about that per se right now. I don't. But so I made my voice known there, because I have some different views from what kind of the typical people were posting there. But the stuff you didn't see is I got like 5 or 6 emails that week from people, from agencies and companies who I know, I don't want to mention them to not, you know, put them in a weird spot, but people who wanted to hire me that week, like, hey, I saw. So there's obviously the people, you know, if you put yourself out there and you state an opinion on anything, some people are going to love you, some people are going to hate you, some people are going to not care. And James, how do you say his last name again? I can never say it.
Altucher.
Yeah, he posted something on that, like something like dealing with haters or some one of those posts, and he said, you know what, just work for the people. Some people aren't going to care, whatever. Some people are going to hate you, whatever. Just do your work and do what you do for the people who love what you do. And there's plenty of business. So I got some of these posts where I've maybe been a little bit controversial. If I wasn't with you know, the company I'm with now, like Hotjar, I would have said, maybe we can work together. So, you know, like it goes both ways. Like I got a lot of flack for some stuff I've said, but I also got a lot of like, hey, I didn't want to post this on the forum because I don't want people to see me, but I love what you wrote here. Can we hire you? Just so, you know, when you put yourself out there, people are going to love you. People are going to hate you.
Having a voice matters.
Yeah. I hesitate to say this because it makes me sound like a jerk, but I was going to say, or you could be like an intellectual coward and just never have an opinion about anything anywhere. You'll have no controversy, no opinions, nothing, but then no one's ever going to notice you, you know, like what you see is what you get. Like I've never shied away from stuff, even when I know for a fact that my point of view or opinion might be in the minority or very unpopular. So I just put it out there, and there's people who love it, and there's people who hate it, and the ones who hate it don't hire me, and the ones who love it do.
Well, I think, Brian, we could talk a lot more about your viewpoints and the power of having viewpoints, in, especially when you are running your own business, and how that could help you or hurt you. But I know we're running low on time, so I do want to ask you about processes in Hotjar, especially you mentioned co-creating with the founder, with David, and you know, I'm always interested in learning about the startups and how they do things when they have processes in place, because oftentimes we don't have processes in place, or we can pull something from what you're doing. So if there's anything that comes to mind around your creative process currently at Hotjar, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, cool. I would say, just generally speaking, our at Hotjar, our creative process is built on feedback. So what we do typically, I'll give you kind of the general answer. So if we're gonna write something or do something, we have kind of the strategy session, or you know, whatever determines what we're gonna do. Say we're gonna write a blog on podcasting, right? So okay, we're gonna write a blog on podcasting. Whoever owns that will do an outline. Then we'll come back and we'll loop in usually not more than like three people. So say I write an outline. Hey, here's what I think the post should look like based on what we talked about. What do you guys think? We do everything in Google Docs. It lives probably, like Rob, Kira, both of you. Most of us probably do most of our stuff in Google Docs these days. So it lives in Google Docs. We get the feedback. We get the outline. And one thing we do is Hotjar is pretty big on blunt and direct feedback. So it'd be like, this doesn't make sense. This sucks. This sounds like a teenage girl wrote it, you know, stuff like that. And we'll just keep doing that. We'll do outline, then we'll do version one, come back. What do you guys think? Tweak this, change this. You got the voice wrong. You're not writing to the right audience. So we just go back and forth, feedback, feedback, feedback. And then once everybody signs off on it, then we build it. We use HubSpot for our content management. Most people probably use WordPress, depending on where you're at. But so feedback is huge. And I know if you're like a solo freelancer, if you're just literally by yourself, this is something I didn't do when I was first starting off either. There's always someone to give you feedback. If you're a part of a mastermind, something I would recommend, Kira, I know we've talked about this, is like the Cult of Copy on Facebook. I've gotten tons of great feedback there. So if you literally don't have a group or a mastermind or people you can, like, just like a friend, like, hey, I just wrote this for a client, what do you think? Like, we do that internally, right, with the Copy Hackers mastermind. If you don't have someone, there's a group on Facebook called Cult of Copy.
So this is turning into a community as well. I don't think I mentioned that, Brian. This will be a Facebook group.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that, because I'm one of the early adopters of the podcast.
Yeah, but feel free to go to Cult of Copy and then ask everybody to come and join the copy.
No, but I mean, Kira, it's really, but it's feedback is key. Feedback is key, because if with that, you have to be able to take it. Now, naturally, myself included, people get defensive with feedback. But you know, if you're working with someone to create something cool that's going to represent a client or a brand, it doesn't matter what you think or how it matters at that point. It has to represent the client. So like, does this sound like something Hotjar would write, or does this sound like something we should be saying, or how do you think people are going to react to this if we post, you know, X, Y, and Z? So that's one thing, is we're really big on feedback. And something cool that we just started doing on our last couple blog posts, David and I, David's the CEO, founder of Hotjar, brilliant, brilliant guy. Just a really great guy. I'm learning a lot from him on marketing. We've done some sessions where we'll just sit down and talk, kind of like how we're talking right now on the podcast. And then we'll make I'll be like, David, tell me about, you know, how to launch and grow a business. And he'll be like, well, you know, he'll kind of brain dump and we'll record the calls. Then I'll go back and take that recording and replay it and write a post based off it. And then, so we're kind of, and then I'll say, David, look, here's the post I wrote based on our talk. And he'll be like, okay, you got this right. Change this, tweak this. And then we'll kind of do the same thing, feedback and edit. But that's another way to create content if you're kind of strapped for time. Sometimes you can just talk to like an expert, or, you know, whatever you want to call them, record the call, and then go back and write a post on it. So, I mean, that's something we're just kind of testing out. We're still working out some kinks on how to make that a little bit more agile and quicker, but it's produced some really cool stuff. We wrote a post last month that got over 10,000 hits in one day from Hacker News. So
that's great.
That was a post we wrote together, you know, like it was kind of David's brain and my writing squished into one, and we kind of made it together. And so, yeah, there's some cool stuff to be learned there about collaborating and co-creation. Gary Vee talks a lot about documenting. Gary Vaynerchuk, for people who don't know, everyone calls him Gary Vee. But if you look up Gary Vaynerchuk, he has a video called How We Make the Sausage. that he does a lot of this with his team. They'll kind of just document what he's saying and they'll turn it into content. So we're testing some of that out and doing some of that, and it's been pretty cool so far.
Brian, one last question for you as we're sort of running low on time. Where do you go for inspiration and to sort of sharpen your skills?
This is a really cool question because I don't know if my answer is like unique or maybe I actually have found that the more I read, the better I become at writing. So I actually read a lot of, like, for instance, right now I'm reading The Brothers Karamazov by, I can never say his last name, Dostoevsky. It's like a 5 billion page novel written by a Russian guy about these brothers and murder mystery thing, and they just talk about life and death and stuff like that. So I have found that for me, the more someone reads, the better they are at writing. Because if you constantly consume and take in good writing, that helps you, you know, what is it? Garbage in, garbage out. So if you're constantly reading and learning and studying, and for me, it's not even, I don't actually read a lot about like copywriting or I'm starting to read some more stuff about like marketing in general. But I read a lot of fiction and it kind of inspires me and helps me, I think, become a better writer. Of course, there's blogs and stuff that come out. Like what are some blogs I read? I read almost everything Brian Dean writes, but he's more of an SEO strategist kind of guy. But I still learn a lot from him. Obviously, you know, stuff on Copy Hackers is great. There's a couple more blogs. It's just I'm on the spot, so I can't think of it. But a lot of it, I just read like actual physical books, and most of them have nothing to do with marketing or copywriting. But I have found that the more I read, the better I write.
We're going to have you back sometime. We could just do a book review session where we can just talk about some of our favorite books. Because I agree. I like to read a lot about business and writing, but honestly, the stuff that helps me improve is, like you said, fiction. I read a lot of history. You know, the really good writers are, you can learn from them no matter what genre they're writing in.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's, Cormac McCarthy is one of my favorite authors. He wrote The Road. It's on. They made a movie out of it. Yeah. Also, C.S. Lewis is another one. There's a lot of.
Yeah, we can probably guys. Yeah, we're definitely going to have you back, Brian.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I just listen to a lot of horror podcasts, so maybe I should switch
podcasts?
Over and start reading more.
I didn't even.
Yeah,
know
murder mysteries, like gruesome murder mysteries. Somehow that helps me write better.
Here is dark awesome. Side.
There's a whole podcast episode right there on horror podcasting.
If people want to find out more about you, where would they be looking online?
Oh gosh. So right now my website is more of a placeholder because I'm not technically like using it to generate leads because I don't really need to at this point. But you can always, if you want to contact me just about anything, brian@winsomewriting.com is great. Brian with an I, B-R-I-A-N. Twitter, I'm on there. At Winsome Writing as well. So that's just kind of, if you want to get in touch with me, those would be good places to do it.
And we're doing this new thing where the guest has to end the show in a witty, fun way. So that's what you get to do right now.
Totally putting me on the spot. I think a good way to end the show is just, it's been really great talking, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Is that a good way to end it?
You've been listening to the Copywriter Club podcast with Kira Hugg and Rob Marsh. Music for the show is a clip from Gravity by Whitest Boy Alive, available in iTunes. If you like what you've heard, you can help us spread the word by subscribing in iTunes and by leaving a review. For show notes, a full transcript, and links to our free Facebook community, visit thecopywriterclub.com. We'll see you next episode.